So good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for taking the time and through this all this rain and un-Austin-like weather to come out and join me today. So my name is Wade Holmes and I'm a solutions architect with VMware. And today I'm going to be talking about securing the cloud. What's your cloud entry point? So for those of you who may not be that familiar with VMware, we're a software company that enables, So we're a software company that enables the end user from different perspectives, allowing for a more flexible, scalable, efficient infrastructure from an infrastructure as a service perspective, faster time to market for application developers for our platform as a service perspective, and empowering a mobile workforce from an end user perspective. And you can see these mapped to infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service solutions. So my role within VMware, I spend a lot of time dealing with customers and dealing with cloud solutions and cloud architecture. And some of the considerations I always have to deal with is how to enable a secure cloud solution from both a cloud provider perspective and a cloud consumer perspective. And while I don't always build clouds, when I do, I use VMware. So today I want to tell you a story, basically a cloud security story. So first I want to talk about a company, Fireworks Incorporated. Fireworks Incorporated is a global enterprise that has experienced explosive growth in the past 12 months. But their IT team is struggling to keep pace with business demands. Due to this explosive growth, they've started to virtualize their infrastructure, and they've gone from 0 to 40% virtualized in the last 2 years, and have been able to increase their ability to provision server workloads from 6 days to 1 hour. But due to all of this virtualization there and the rapid growth, and also as they move into virtualizing tier one applications, they're starting to have to consider mounting security compliance needs in this virtualized architecture. So let's look at some of the characters in this security story. The first character we have here is Andy the admin. Andy is responsible for the global infrastructure, and he regularly has nightmares about security compliance. He loves the operational benefits that are experienced by virtualization, but he's still not sure how he's going to meet the security needs in this rapidly growing infrastructure that Fireworks Incorporated is building out. Some of his security and compliance concerns include that he's worried that his current security posture is not equipped to meet their needs of this rapidly growing environment. He knows that a payment card industry compliance audit is coming up, as they've started to virtualize some of their payment card industry servers. And he knows that currently all of the security constructs within his environment are built around physical security, basically physical firewalls, your typical perimeter eggshell defense. And he isn't sure, but he's pretty sure that that isn't going to cut it in this new virtualized world. So as mentioned, he has some idea that as he moves his virtualized world and he has all these virtual machines moving around, and one of the benefits obviously of the operational benefits and of this new virtualized world is the ability to move virtual machines around, but how does security then come into play when VMs can fly in and fly out from one physical asset to another, and security is tied to the network or tied to physical constructs? If you have two VMs that are in different trust zones and you want to be able to get a maximum efficiency in your infrastructure, how do you how do you balance that with also being able to maximize your security posture? Because it's just from a for security standpoint, this can give people massive headaches. Next character we have in the security story is Dev the Developer. Dev creates custom applications from Fireworks Incorporated. And she programmed in every type of language, her and her team, jack of all trades when it comes to programming. Her team constantly is asking Andy for more development resources for her test dev QA environment. And Dev's very impatient. She doesn't like to wait for these resources at all. So due to this impatience, a lot of times when Andy couldn't meet the needs in time for a certain high-profile project, which always comes up every quarter, Dev decides to go outside of the internal infrastructure and provision resources from third-party cloud providers. In doing so, Dev becomes what I like to call dark IT. So Dev's now using third-party external cloud infrastructure resources for her development needs. This is totally outside the corporate policy. I mean, this now you have corporate intellectual policy that resides in a third-party provider, and without any type of integrated identity management. If Deb leaves the company, you don't know who's going to be able to get access to this IP. It's a nightmare from a security perspective. I mean, Deb's happy because she's getting her job done, but this does not put Fireworks Incorporated in a good position from a security perspective. Then next we have Eric the End User. Eric the End User is a top sales guy for Fireworks Incorporated. He always has the latest and greatest mobile device. And you can see here he has a nice Android phone, and he's already dreaming about the new iPad, or iPad 3, or whatever you want to call it. Eric is also needs to access his data from anywhere, anytime, as he's a very mobile worker, and he needs to be able to access his sales applications, sales data, corporate data, as he's on the move. So Eric, just like Deb, to be able to get the job done, sometimes embraces a dark side. He uses Dropbox to access all of his data from all his different devices. This is thoroughly outside the corporate security policy. This data includes all sorts of customer sales information, and as you know, if this is on Dropbox, Fireworks Incorporated doesn't have the encryption keys for this data, even though Dropbox says it's encrypted. It's not a good position if your company doesn't own the keys to your own data. So, as you can see, each one of these users in this cloud security story look at cloud security from a different perspective, from a different cloud entry point. And it's very important to consider this when you're looking at cloud security and having the discussions, because there's all sorts of arguments that have gone on around cloud. What is cloud? What are the implications of cloud security? But there always needs to be context when you have these discussions, whether you're approaching it from the context of a cloud provider, such as Andy the admin, who's responsible for the infrastructure in Fireworks Incorporated, or is from the perspective of a cloud consumer, such as Deb the developer and Eric the end user. So I mentioned the infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service solutions all are causing a shift in landscape, and this shift in landscape in IT is changing what are the needs for security and have massive implications for security. The new delivery methods from public cloud, private cloud, hybrid cloud, new devices that are prompted from a consumerization of IT as workers are bringing in all these new devices. New applications, Dropbox, social media, and a massively mobile workforce are all shifting the landscape and the type of solutions that are needed to be able to secure your infrastructure and provide security in an enterprise. So you can see Andy has all these responsibilities, and he's pretty frustrated. He has to worry about Deb and her needs or resources from a platform security perspective, all these new mobile users like Eric and these new devices coming in to play, and right now everything in his environment is geared around physical security. He's not sure what to do at this point. To make matters worse, Fireworks Incorporated just got news, or there's rumors, that they're going to have a huge merger with Firecrackers Incorporated. This always happens, a typical story. And kind of cut off there, but you can see with this new merger, some new corporate policy mandates come down from the CIO to be able to handle this change. They've enacted a virtualization first policy that any new workload from a server infrastructure perspective is going to be virtualized. They've also enacted a bring your own device policy that users, and due to demand of users, they want to be able to bring any type of mobile device and be able to access their corporate data from that mobile device. And to be able to leverage the cloud and further the benefits of cloud and virtualized infrastructure, they've enacted a hybrid cloud initiative where they want to have a local enterprise infrastructure service solution, but then also, as needed, depending on business demands, be able to provision workloads in public clouds. So at this point, Andy is extremely concerned. He really doesn't know what to do to be able to balance all these new initiatives and still meet the security and compliance mandate that he knows that he's on the hook for. So Andy takes a deep breath and starts to think about things and realizes that this new infrastructure and this new environment, this new world really in IT, changes everything. Basically, legacy static data center controls are not effective in this new shift in landscape. Basically, you need security controls that are virtualization aware, cloud aware. A typical eggshell defense for security is not going to cut it. So Andy enacts a plan to try and tackle things on the three layers from a foundation perspective, an infrastructure service, a platform of service solutions, and from a software as a service or end user perspective. As mentioned, Andy realizes that virtualization now changes the game. You can have hundreds or thousands of servers on one physical piece of hardware. I think there are projections that by 2014, you'll be able to fit 30,000 VMs in one rack of physical servers that's the size of a dorm refrigerator. So imagine having just a physical perimeter security model around this environment that leaves huge holes. You have a huge ecosystem of VMs within this environment that still isn't secure. So basically, you need a new model to change the game. And the same security principles that have always been around on defense in depth to provide confidentiality, integrity, and availability of data still applies in a virtualized and cloud world, but you just need to have a different approach. Basically, you start with protecting the VMs. But protecting the VMs is a little bit different because you still want to be able to maintain the operational efficiency in a virtualized and cloud infrastructure. So you need solutions that does it in an efficient way and that's virtualization aware. Next, you want to be able to protect the logical applications. See, one of the things throughout the history of IT, security has always been tied to the network. I mean, that's because of a lot of legacy reasons. There were standards across networking that weren't there for storage. So really, the only homogeneous way to tie security was into network constructs. But there's a new opportunity with virtualization. We now have this new standard that is being enacted in many enterprises in the VM. And with the VM, you can now tie security context to this new standard. And then you still want to protect the logical data center. And you see, you still want to have a defense-in-depth approach, but not just from a physical infrastructure where you have physical firewalls and VLANs and routing and in between. You want to be able to... You want to be able to provide security through these logical constructs that are aware of a virtualized application, aware of a virtual machine, and that can have your security context follow your VMs around as they move from place to place and from physical asset to physical asset. So let's take a look at what this will look like in Fireworks Incorporated. So first, it means you have your business applications, your test development applications, your shared resources, and you also have your demilitarized zone for web-facing applications. Each of these can still live in a virtualized infrastructure, and you actually can still have these different VMs and different trust zones that may at times be on the same physical hardware. You also have your virtual end-user environment that also can live in this environment and still maintain its own trust zones through technologies such as a vShield application from VMware, vShield Edge, basically products, and there are all slews of products, not just from VMware, but other products from Cisco, number of companies that allow for security with virtual context. So in this environment, when a VM moves from one physical resource to another, the security policy is still going to follow the VM. You don't have the, and not just security, management, compliance, everything can be managed from the inside out, and you're not worrying about what's going on and have no visibility into your virtualized world. From a platform as a service perspective, you want to be able to empower your developers. One of the great solutions from VMware that we're doing to be able to do this is Cloud Foundry. Basically, Cloud Foundry is the industry's first open platform as a service solution that no matter what the programming language that developer may want to use, they have an option and be able and have that option to write code in an efficient manner in a ready environment. And one of the cooler things about this is you can deploy Cloud Foundry in many different deployment models, from micro clouds that can live on your laptop and then take that same code environment and put it in your virtual, on your infrastructure as a service layer where you have a Cloud Foundry instance stood up. Then if your environment, your organization needs more resources, they can leverage Cloud Foundry in public clouds. So with this, Deb no longer has to worry about going out to third-party platform service vendors or infrastructure service vendors, and this actually makes things more efficient and can look at an internal infrastructure service solution that's hosting Cloud Foundry to be able to spin up her own dev environments as needed. Next, we have solutions that are needed to enable the end user. So I mentioned the consumerization of IT is a very difficult topic when it comes to security. And it takes a multi-pronged approach to be able to solve this issue. Some of the ways that VMware is approaching this is from an application perspective and being able to provision applications from an application catalog that's centralized and tied into the directory services of your enterprise for integrated or federated identity management through SAML authentication. To be able to solve issues like users going out and using Dropbox, you need to have some type of internal data sharing capability that still gives the convenience and operational efficiency for your end user, but at the same time allows it to be secure. So your data is encrypted, you own the keys to your data, and you don't have to worry about what happens if this with your data out on unknown services. From a VM perspective, we have a project called Project Octopus that addresses that. And then we also have from a pure virtual desktop perspective, you want to be able to consolidate your virtual desktops so that you can more easily enact security policies on these desktops and then still have access from any type of mobile device. So still enabling the end user and in a simple manner, but having ubiquitous access to data and applications that are needed. So, despite all of this and all these solutions, all these technology controls, there's still the need for security education. No matter what solution you put in place, security education is mandatory in any enterprise, in security awareness, security training. Because no matter what solution you have, if the end user isn't aware of it, if your admins aren't aware of it, which happens in every organization, they're still going to go out and use Dropbox. They're still going to go out and use the latest and greatest services. So adherence to corporate security policy tied in with technology controls is a must. So after looking at and enacting and deploying some of these solutions, Andy is a little bit happier. The security posture of his environment is improved, and he at least can sleep a little bit better at night. And security of cloud is an ongoing developing problem with developing solutions. We aren't there yet, but there are still better ways to do things, and you need to look at things from a different perspective when virtualizing your environment, when looking at cloud, when dealing with the consumerization of IT. So, for more information about any of these solutions I've talked about, we have a number of resources on VMware.com. Go to vmware.com/go/cloud to learn about our cloud solutions, including our infrastructure service cloud solutions, Cloud Foundry, and our end user based Horizon solutions. We can look at, go to vmware.com/go/security for our security solutions. And if you're interested in the nitty-gritty details of virtualized cloud architecture, you can go to vmware.com/go/VCAT for the vCloud Architecture Toolkit, which details prescriptive details of how to architect a vCloud using VMware products. And I can always be reached on Twitter. I'm pretty active in social media, at W Holmes, if you have any direct questions or want to reach out to me. So I have a good amount of time for any questions. Oh, actually 6 minutes.
Hello, is this on?
Oh.
Is it on? It doesn't need to be, probably not.
Yeah, that's a common issue. So basically, a question: you have your different environments in different public clouds, correct? And are there different public cloud providers or the same?
No, it's all the same provider. It's just from all the same providers. Just when I have a production environment and a data environment, how do I keep the same environment secure from everyone?
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, one option is to tie it in back to your enterprise. You want to, no matter what, you want to tie any public cloud resources back into your enterprise security, the security controls you have in your enterprise, whether it's SSL, VPN, and then tying back into just the specific environments within your current enterprise. That may be one approach. It really depends on how, on the architecture of your environment now and the type of solutions you're using, but you definitely, at a high level, you want to tie things back into the security controls in your corporate enterprise to the available technology today.
Can you talk about a little bit about managing VMware predominant
And what are you using the Hyper-V for?
Same thing, just some, either some legacy or some new. It's not your fireworks, but a burger situation.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, from my perspective, that is makes things more difficult from a manager's perspective. I mean, I think this is lessons that I learned a while back before even virtualization, that as soon as you have a heterogeneous environment, management becomes more difficult. I mean, today from a VMware perspective, our management products are focused on our solutions. I know Microsoft has the ability to look at our products at a light level, but it doesn't give the management capabilities that you have natively through our products. There are a number of third-party products that do address both hypervisors that you can look at, but so at this point, I would probably point you to some of our third-party partners if that is something you really need to do. Or I would say just stick with a homogeneous VMware environment. Oh. Any other questions? All right. All right, thank you all for coming out today. And I'll definitely I'll be sharing these slides. And thank you.